Welcome to Stories of the Master. Welcome to episode 11 of the Stories of the Master podcast, where we reflect on how we can improve ourselves little by little, day by day, through sharing stories of the perfect exemplar of the Baha'i faith, Abdul Baha. Today's episode is about gratitude. That is, being grateful or thankful for what you have and your circumstances. It's easy to fall into the trap of always wanting more and forgetting what we already have, or worse, complaining about something that isn't so bad. I think we've all heard someone complain about going to the dentist or having to sleep on time or a long car ride. But when we actually think about it, we are so lucky to have dentists, and we should be so grateful to have parents that care about our health and encourage us to sleep on time. Some people might also think that their circumstances are so bad they don't need to be grateful and say, once I have that item or this amount of money, then I can be grateful. But that's not true. Being grateful has nothing to do with what you have. It's a virtue. It's a way of thinking. If you don't learn to be grateful now, trust me, you won't be grateful in the future, because you will always think about what you don't have. So, before we continue talking about gratitude, let's hear a story about the master of gratitude, Abdul Baha. In the last episode, I asked you to think about the master as a 19-year-old. In today's story, it's Abdul Baha as a child. In Tehran, Persia, when Abdul Baha was a young boy, life was comfortable, carefree, and full of joy. They had a beautiful home, plus another in the countryside that they'd often visit. The master enjoyed the warmth of his parents' love and played in the garden with his sister and brother, Bahir Khanum and Mirza Mehdi. Challenges really arose when the Babi faith began to grow and Baha'u'llah's role as a leader in the community became clearer. The master became the target of persecution by the locals. In one instance, when Abdul Baha was only 8, he was held face down on the ground by a gang of boys who pelted him with stones. However, the big blow to his childhood wasn't this. It was witnessing his father and Lord Baha'u'llah being wrongfully arrested and put in prison, not once, but 3 times. It was this 3rd time that was the hardest, because this wasn't any ordinary prison. Baha'u'llah was sent to the Siyar Chal. The Siyar Chal, which translates to the Black Pit, was the foulest prison imaginable. Buried underground, it was pitch black, cold and torturous. While this was happening, a young Abdul Baha was stuck at home without the protection of his father. Many enemies of the faith came to attack the home of the Holy Family. So many stones were thrown at their home that the courtyard was crammed with them. To safeguard her children, the master's mother, Nawab, quietly rented a house in a back alley and kept everyone indoors. But soon, they were running out of food. Nawab asked Abdul Baha to go to his aunt's home and ask for some money. He does, and she provides a small amount and a handkerchief. But on his way home, someone recognized him, and they shouted, "Here is a Babi!" And a group of children chased him. Running as fast as he could, Abdul Baha found refuge in the entrance to a house where he stayed until nightfall. Once he finally left, the children found him again and chased him all the way home. The master quickly gets into the house. Nawab was so alarmed as she saw a very exhausted Abdul Baha and asked what happened. Before he could say a word, he collapsed. in this underground dungeon where the Blessed Beauty was placed, Baha'u'llah sat in foul conditions with a 40-kilogram chain around his neck for the four-month duration. Abdul Baha missed him so much and could not bear to be away from his father and demanded that they meet. The power he commanded as a child was phenomenal, and his wish was granted. When the master arrived at the prison, it was too dangerous for him to descend the gloomy staircase, and a servant from the prison placed Abdul Baha on his shoulders and took him down. In the middle of the stairwell, all of a sudden, they heard the voice of Baha'u'llah saying, "Do not bring him in here." So they took him back. The guards brought the Blessed Beauty out of the dungeon, and he was chained to several other prisoners. The sight of his father was so shocking that this 9-year-old Abdul Baha fainted and the guards had to carry him away. When Baha'u'llah was finally released from the Siyar Chal, the king of Persia, Nasruddin Shah, decreed that he should be banished from Iran. He and his family were exiled to Baghdad. Their family home was destroyed and pillaged, and they were given 1 month to pack up and leave their home country for good. So, how did the master, who was just a boy, react to all these calamities? Going from comfort and wealth to the utmost poverty. Well, he was so grateful for what he had. When he was confined to his home, he cherished the time with his siblings. When he ran through the streets, he was honored to being trusted with the responsibilities of the home. When remembering the suffering of those bleak times, the master said, "Detachment does not imply lack of means. It is marked by the freedom of the heart. In Tehran, we possessed everything at a nightfall, and on the morrow, we were shorn of it all, to the extent that we had no food to eat. Yet, we were contented." 60 years after these events, when speaking in Paris, the master recalled, "The wisdom of whatever happened to me has become apparent later. While I was a child in Tehran, 7 years of age, I contracted tuberculosis. There was no hope of recovery. Afterwards, the wisdom of and the reason of this became evident. Were it not for that illness, I would have been in Mazandaran. But because of it, I remained in Tehran and was there when the Blessed Perfection was imprisoned. Thus, I traveled to Iraq in his company. Even the disease that was supposed to kill the master was seen as something to be grateful for. The master didn't focus on all the bad things that were happening. He saw the wisdom in them and was grateful for those things as they allowed him to accompany Baha'u'llah on exile. Don't think for a second that these travels were easy. It took 3 months to get there by horse and by foot. In the winter months, it got to below freezing temperature. When they arrived in Baghdad on the 8th of April, 1853, they lived in very poor conditions, and it took them a month to find a home to rent. Food was scarce and there was limited money. Abdul Baha's mother, Nawab, couldn't afford to feed the master and his sister, so she tore off the buttons of her coat and traded them for a handful of flour to feed them. At another occasion, Abdul Baha was invited to the house of a poor thorn picker. It was an extremely hot day, and the master walked almost 20 kilometers there and 20 kilometers back. When he arrived there, the thorn picker's wife made a little cake that was so burnt that it looked like a black hard rock. So grateful was the master for their hospitality that he later described it as the best reception I ever attended. The master did not complain and ask for more. He was grateful for what he had and the time he had with his family. What greater honor could there be than to have such an experience with the supreme manifestation of God? The Master never took this for granted. It's one thing to be detached, another to be content, but Abdu'l-Bahá saw the good in every situation and focused on that. He was grateful. Let me leave you with these words from the Master, Abdu'l-Bahá. As to the calamities and afflictions of Abdu'l-Bahá, these are not calamities, but bounties. They are not afflictions, but gifts. Not hardships, but tranquility. Not trouble, but mercy. And we thank God for this great favor. Thank you for listening to episode 11. I really hope you enjoyed it and take a moment each day to reflect and smile on what you are truly grateful for. Don't forget to subscribe and follow to catch the next episode of Stories of the Master.